Next week, we'll be starting Sunday school at 10 o'clock. And so we'll be teaching here, and we'll probably have that on air as well. But we also have church service at 11 o'clock. And so that's starting next week. Of course, next week, the time changes and it'll fall back. So we want to invite any of you that wants to tune in and listen to us to tune in at 10 o'clock as we are right now. But we'll also be having a Sunday school at that time and church service at 11. So open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. Now in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, very familiar scripture, we have scripture that's informing us that in the last days, a lot of things will be changing. The Bible describes it as perilous times and begin to tell us why they will be so dangerous. And as we begin to read that list from verse 2 all the way on down, we can look around and we can realize that we are living in those perilous times. It's dangerous times that we're living in. Dangerous times because of everything, but especially because of the spirit of Antichrist that is so prevalent today. And it's affecting every issue of our life. Our family life, our church life, our government life, every issue and every institution that God established, the spirit of Antichrist has moved into and is affecting. But then we get on over in chapter 4, and Paul is letting us know and letting Timothy know, young preacher, that it is important that we preach the word. And especially in this time that he's described, that most of us who have any biblical knowledge at all would recognize that, yes, there's been a great change in families. There's been a great change in people themselves, in the word that people gives you, being able to trust their word, the relationship between children and parents, and all kinds of issues, and even people being thankful and those type of things, and not counting all the different issues that has affected our nation as far as sexual issues, same-sex marriage, and all those issues that has affected our nation, abortion, and all those things just happening in our generation, and people being approving of those type of things. So we would all agree that there's been a great change in people's minds, people's hearts, and the way that they have a relationship with God. But then Paul in chapter 4, he reminds us that we need to preach the word. This morning we want to preach a message on this. Is there room for old-fashioned preaching in 2020? In other words, in our day, is there still an appetite for the word of God? I will tell you this. Many people does not like preaching anymore. It's hard to find people that lacks real preaching. And let me tell you this as well, and I'll probably make some people mad before I finish this message. Preaching does not need theatrics. You understand? Jesus didn't have to use theatrics to preach. Paul didn't have to use theatrics to preach. And when Paul preached, you could understand what he said. And what Jesus would do, the reason why he was the greatest preacher in the world, he could take any subject and break it down in a simple form that people could understand it. And sometimes he would use parables, and he would use other illustrations to let people understand truths, heavenly truths that had earthly meanings. And so this morning, I want to begin reading in chapter 4, and I want you to stay with me a few minutes, and I want to share with you and this message. Is there an appetite for old-fashioned preaching in the year in which we live? And I appreciate the fact that not only I myself can preach to many of you, but every preacher I've had come in here, they tell me, they said, preacher, you've got something unique in the church. You got people that you can preach to. And I'm going to tell you something as a preacher. When you're preaching, you can tell when people are receiving it and when they are rejecting it. And when there's resistance to the word of God, it's felt. So this morning, stay with me just a moment. And I want to share with you a few truths if you allow me to. Verse number 1, chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. And keep your Bibles open. We're going to turn several places. He says, I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And the term itching ears means they will be wanting to hear what they want to hear. And they'll have ears that only wants to hear what's pleasing to them. And they don't want to hear anything that's contrary to the way they want to hear things. In other words, we'll get to that in just a moment. And they shall turn away their ears from the what? Truth. And of course, we know thy word is truth. And the truth shall set you free. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get away from preaching the truth, people can't be set free. I've told people many times. I said, preacher, we got to go over here to deal with our alcoholism. We got to deal over here to deal with this matter and that. I tell them, I said, listen, come to Jesus. You find the truth and he can set you free. Amen? Look on if you would in verse number 4. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. Now let's look just a few minutes. Let's break this down. And I want to bring a few messages, points from this message to you. First of all, preaching the word. Preaching the word has a thought like being a herald to the king. In other words, we have a king's message. Our job is to say, hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. What the king wants you to hear. It's not my job to input my thoughts, my opinions, my ideas. My job is to relate to you the word, the king's word. Exactly what the word of God says. It's not my place to change it. If you don't like it, take it up with the king. Amen. My job is to preach the word as it is written. Amen. And I've had people say, preacher, I had a guy come one time. He was a practicing homosexual. And I was preaching and I dealt with that. Didn't even know. And I dealt with that. And he come to me, he said, I didn't like your message. I said, it wasn't my message. I was just declaring the king's message. And I said, if you got a problem with the message, take it up with the king. He's the one said it was abomination. I didn't. It's my job to preach it and not to change it. And I said, even if I had known, I would have preached it the same way anyway. Because my job is to preach the word, not change the word. Amen. Now, not only that, but also we need to understand the word that he's talking about is the whole counsel of God. Everything that he has revealed from Genesis to Revelation, it's my job to preach. Now, it's important that we do something if we're going to preach the word. Look, if you would, back in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Paul reminds Timothy, if you're going to be preaching the word in verse 15, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing what? So it's my job not only to preach the word, but it's my job to compare scripture with scripture, study the word, that I can rightfully divide the word of truth. Amen? And so therefore, it's my job not only to preach it, but to study it and rightly divide it. Now, note, I'll give you Bibles, if you would, in verse number 2. He says, preach the word, be instant. Be instant means be ready. And in season, out of season, means sometimes when it's easy to preach, sometimes when it's not easy to preach, sometimes when somebody wants to hear it, sometimes when people don't want to hear it. Sometimes I've had to preach things at funerals that people didn't want to hear, but somebody had to say it, amen? Sometimes you're in a place at a funeral where no one ever comes to church, and none of the family ever comes to church, and I've had some come say, listen, we only want you to say nice things about our loved one. We don't want you to get into preaching. I said, you've got the wrong person. But listen, why would I, knowing that people are dying going to hell, why would I hold back preaching the word, people that wasn't going to hear it anywhere else? My job, and you say, well, I've had people get up and walk out. But that's our season. Sometimes it's hard to preach the word when it's not being received. Sometimes you have to preach it when you know people don't like to hear what's being said. But it's my job to preach it at both times. And then my job is always to do one thing, preach the word. Now, there is a way that we need to preach it. We don't need to preach it in anger. We don't need to preach it just to try to pinpoint and attack somebody individually. We preach the word, let the Holy Ghost of God do the work. It's not my job to try to convict you. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict you. Now, look on. Notice here that he says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I have those two beings of the Godhead that is witnessing everything I preach from this pulpit. Therefore, it's my job that I'm going to answer to God one of these days for what I preach. Now, notice if you would, back in your Bibles, and notice here that he says that we are to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, he talks about being sound doctrine over there, and you've heard me teach on sound doctrine before, but sound doctrine is healthy spiritual doctrine to live by. And what the Bible gives you as a Christian to let you be spiritually healthy. But we'll get into that in just a moment. First of all, let me say something, and again, I'll probably make some people mad that may be listening. But notice here in chapter 4, in verse number 3, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, in other words, spiritual, healthy doctrine, but after their own what? Lust, they shall heap to them what?
Teachers.
You say, is there anything wrong with teachers? The Bible says pastors ought to be apt to teach. Deacons ought to be apt to teach. Nothing wrong with teachers. The Bible says that God calls some pastors and teachers. Nothing wrong with good teachers. Let me say something that will probably be offensive to some. There was a time when men was called by God to preach, and they would sit under their pastors, and they would learn how to pastor a church. They'd learn how to preach the word. They'd be taught how to rightfully divide truth. And therefore, sitting under that godly preacher, they would be affected by that. And so what happened is, in time, we have changed. We started seminaries. And immediately when somebody got called to preach, we would send them to professors instead of letting them stay under pastors. Now, I don't have anything wrong with a good seminary in one sense, but my point being is, what's happened is, look if you would in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy in verse 14. When we are set under God-called pastors and we learn doctrine from them, it helps us so much. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Look on back, if you would, in chapter 1, in verse number 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of who? Of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So we are to preach in faith and love. But Paul says to Timothy, he said, listen, you have had an opportunity to sit under me, listen to my sound teachings, and now you remember those words, you remember those things, and apply them in the churches where you go, pastor, and to those young pastors that will be sitting under you. I thank God that some of the best teachers that you have is the pastors that God gives you. I thank God for my pastor. When God called me to preach, as he was preparing me to take this church here, he put me underneath Brother Broughton. And I learned so many things. I watched him. I listened to him. I learned so many things from him. And sometimes I would go to preaching conferences, and they'd say, they'd want to divide you up by the school that you attended. They'd ask me, they'd say, what school did you go to? I said, King James University. Amen. And I said, I just got in the Bible, God called man, and I said, God dealt with my heart, and he showed me what he wanted me to do and where he wanted me to go. And I said, that's the way it worked with me. I'm not going to argue with somebody else, but I'm saying what we've done is, what these seminaries have done, at first, they were supposed to train preachers to preach. Then, all of a sudden, they started bringing laymen in. And they started making teachers. Then they started bringing laymen and women in. And then they started doing all these and bringing liberal arts and all that. And then they started bringing all this liberal stuff in. I knew one pastor, he was pastoring over Casey County. And he decided to go, and he was a King James only guy. He decided to go to one of these seminaries, and the first thing they taught him was be confused about which one's the Bible. And he was taught to accept them all as Bible. I said, well, things that are different can't be the same. And I said, when they come from different manuscripts, it can't be the same thing. And I said, therefore, what you need to understand is, and the first thing he did was, he began to doubt the word of God, and the next thing you know, today he's nowhere to be found around the church. Now listen to me. What we've done is, we've created teachers. I talked to Brother Sisson and many of the evangelists, and they tell me churches cannot find pastors anymore. They can't find anybody a pastor. And most of the time, when they come in anymore, the first thing they do is tear the church all up and walk off and leave it tore up. What's going on? I'll tell you what, we're sending people to become teachers, and we're looking for people to come and be good speakers instead of preachers. That's right. And we need people preaching the Word of God. And we need people being taught how to preach the Word of God. And there's no better place to be taught how to preach the Word of God than sitting under a God-called preacher. Amen? Amen? I believe that. Now, again, I probably make a lot of people upset, but I believe that to the depths of my heart. And so we need to be very careful. Now, let's talk a little bit about what we are to preach. Somebody said, well, they teach theology. Theology comes from two words. One, theos, meaning God, and logos, meaning the word, or meaning speech, or meaning reason. And so therefore, when we get to this, it's basically the science of God. That's what theology is about, the relationship between God and the universe, the doctrine of God, his being and his works. And therefore, sound doctrine, as I said, when we preach sound doctrine, we preach sound truths about God and who he is, and we also preach things that are healthy for us as Christians to live spiritual lives. Now, three different areas of theology. The existence of God as creator. And by the way, let me say this. You can't mix up creation and the idea of evolution. They don't work. They don't work together. You believe one or you believe the other. And since some guy decided to make it a theory of his, I believe I'll just take the truth. Amen. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so therefore, when you preach theology, you got to preach the existence of God. When you begin to bring evolution into the teachings of the church, you have left theology. And you have left true sound doctrine, and you got off on false doctrine. Amen. And not only that, but you also, when you preach about the creator of the universe and the sovereignty of that creator, you got to preach about his omnipresence. He's everywhere at all times. He's all knowing. He knows everything. He knows when a bird drops down. He knows when a hair of your head falls off. He knows everything about you. And everything about everything. There's nothing too hard for him. He's omnipotent, all powerful. And so therefore, when we preach about the doctrine of God, and we preach about us what you want to. You can call us clowns. You can call us people that's old rednecks that believes that they're still created. But I'll tell you what, if you go back in the school books, Brother Jim collects a lot of books, you go back to the school books past 1960 and you'll go in the science book, and I'll tell you what you'll find in public schools. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. You know who changed that? A liberal Supreme Court back in the 70s. And they begin teaching other things and taking that out, and begin taking prayer out of school, taking Bible out of school, and those type of things. Not only that, but the second thing of theology is the capability of a human mind to know and have a relationship with God. And so therefore, what we do is we get into the theology of teaching how that we as sinners, we as humans, we as people that fall short of what God is, we have a relationship with Almighty God, our Creator. We can not only have a relationship with Him, but the Bible tells us how we can become the sons and daughters of God. Amen? Now, last but not least, also, is a revelation that God has given us. The revelation of what God's plan is, and therefore, we study the Bible from Genesis Revelation. I'm not surprised in what's going on today. I've done read it. He's done said it's going to happen. And when all these things begin to happen, I know that we're living in the last days. But I also know in these last days that we're having a great battle about preaching. And people don't want preaching anymore. Boy, there was a time when we had great revivals in this country. You know, there was a time when they would have these revivals and they would come in and they would preach and factories would shut down. They'd have morning services and night services, sometimes 5 and 6 weeks at a time. Sometimes they wouldn't give an invitation for the first 2 weeks. And by the time they'd give an invitation, they call it old sawdust trail sometimes, when they'd have tents and sawdust laid down, there'd be hundreds come and get saved. And people would hear the preaching. When Billy Sunday would come through preaching, he preached on liquor all the time. And he come preaching, you know what the bars would do? They would put boards over the windows and they'd close shop and they'd leave town. Because people get so stirred up against alcohol by hearing the word of God that they go in there and bust the saloons up, knowing what damage they did to people's family. The word of God. There was times when they'd follow. They'd go after people like George Whitfield, and they'd follow him home after he preached of a morning. And they'd say, preach some more to us. Thousands of them in the field saying, preach some more to us. I'd faint if I got through preaching for about 30 or 45 minutes, and you stood up and said, preach some more to us. Amen? Look here. Laugh all you want to. This is a two-hour message. Just hang on. Amen? Yeah, thank you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. But think about this just a minute. Spurgeon. They would come hear him preach in the metropolitan tabernacle he had. It seated about 5,000. He'd tell his members, he said, listen, we don't have enough room for all you all and the lost sinners that's coming. You all stay outside and let them come in and get a seat. 5,000. Isn't that something? And what we've done is this. We say, listen, come tonight. We're going to have preaching all week. We're going to have revival. We're going to have God called preacher. Preaching the word of God. Then we get there on Monday and say, where's everybody at? Tuesday. What happened to people? But then we came, listen, we're going to have a singing. We're going to have us a time. Let's set chairs out to hold the crowd. Listen, we're going to give away hot dogs. Everybody come. And everybody in the community start flooding in here. But somebody said a long time ago, if you build a church on hot dogs, somebody's stealing with hamburgers. Amen? Now think about this a minute. God doesn't expect us to build a church on entertainment. It's preaching. Now, stay with me a minute. Look back in your Bibles again and notice here. Look, if you would, keep your finger there in 2 Timothy and go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, real quickly. Preaching is not intellectualism. As I said, today in all these big churches, they want to have speakers that speaks great swelling words. Be intellects, teachers. God wants us to preach. Look on. Paul could have been an intellectual if he wanted to be an intellectual with his education. But look in verse 4 what he says. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and what? Power, that your faith should not be standing in the wisdom of men, but in the what? Power of God. Preaching is not the wisdom of men. It's the power of God. And so therefore, what we need to do is have the power of God in our preaching and let the Holy Ghost of God do His work. And you know the amazing thing about preaching the Word of God is this. Somebody said, I've been here now going on 33 years, right? 34 years. Somebody said, haven't you run out of things to preach yet? I just preached the Word. Listen, the Holy Spirit tells him what he wants to hear out of that message. Then the Holy Spirit tells her what she needs to hear out of that message. Then it tells him what he needs to hear out of that message. Then it tells him what he needs to hear out of that message. And listen, he may tell all you all 100 different messages that you need to hear today that only you and God knows about you and knows what's going on in your life, and therefore the Holy Ghost of God talks to you. The power of God moves and makes that word alive, quick, powerful, because that's what the Holy Ghost of God does. Somebody said, well, I'm not going to listen to the Word of God. There'll be a time in your life when you wish you had. Look on. Turn back if you would. While you're there, turn if you would over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 real quickly. And by the way, listen to me. As I said, there's places for good godly teaching in your church. But when you just have teachers for preachers, it increases carnality in your church. Not only that, but it also decreases the conversions in your church. Not only that, it increases the apostasy in your church, the false doctrines that rises. Why? Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Begin reading, if you would, in verse number 17. I'm sorry, I'm in 2 Corinthians. Let me get it back over there. Verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the what? Gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For, by the way, somebody said, explain it to me. I can't explain it to you. I can only preach to you that the Son of God came and He was made a sacrifice and a substitute for all sinful men. We have all sinned, come short of the glory of God. He died in our stead. He shed His blood. He was accepted by God as a sacrifice for us, as a propitiation, a substitute for us. And He died upon the cross of Calvary. And whosoever shall believe upon Him shall be saved. I can't explain it. All I can tell you is preach the gospel. And you either believe it or you reject it. Amen. Look on if you would. Verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is of them that perish what? Foolishness. Some people say, well, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. You'll die in hell one day, it won't be so foolish to you. Amen? Look here in verse number 18 again. But unto us which are saved, it is a what? Power of God. How many of you remember when you heard the Word of God preached and God convicted your soul and He drew you to come unto Him and you came and the power of God saved your soul that day? How many of you remember that? Amen? Somebody said, well, I'm not sure. I tell you what, If you're not sure, you need to be checking up on things. Amen. Look, if you would, in verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of their prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to do what? Save them which believe. Somebody said, well, you brother, if you believe that, you're a fool. Call me what you want to. My job is to preach it, and the Bible says it pleases God. Not only does his word have power, but it pleases God to save those that believe. Amen. Look, if you would, in verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things that are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. We preach Jesus and him crucified. Amen. There is no other message. We're not going to change our message. We're not going to pattern something to get you to just want to be entertained. We're just going to preach the gospel. And the gospel is to be preached. Now, notice back in your Bible real quickly, if you would, back in 2 Timothy. Now, let me say this. The word of God is important to sinners, because the Holy Spirit of God uses that and convicts them. Remember several times when Stephen preached, when Peter preached, and so forth. Remember what the Bible says about the word they preach. It pricked people in the heart. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He was sent to convict you and to draw you. That's why I tell parents sometimes, they say, preacher, listen, my child is wanting to be saved. I said, when he gets of age to be saved, I said, I don't mind talking to him, but when he gets of age, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, do you believe in Jesus, Son of God? If you do, then pray this prayer after me. I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to say is this. I'm going to tell him what the gospel teaches, what the Bible teaches, and I'm going to tell him when the time comes that he's old enough and he's wise enough to be saved, the Holy Spirit of God's going to come and take the word of God, convict him and show him that he's a lost sinner. It's going to draw him to come to Jesus, and he's going to have to make a choice whether he's going to come or whether he's not going to come. And until that time comes, he's too young. Amen? I believe that to be truth. So a sinner needs the word of God. The Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And the Bible also tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you're saved by faith, then sinners need to hear the word of God preached. I had a guy come. He sat there right there where Scott's sitting. And he told me, he sat there two or three Sundays, Scott, and he quit coming. And he was lost, man. I said, we'd love to have you come back to church. He said, I don't like preaching. He said, it makes me feel guilty. I said, that's what preaching does. I said, it made me feel guilty too. I said, but you know, the fact that it made me be aware that I was a sinner is what brought me to God. I came to the realization that the Bible taught that I was a lost sinner and I couldn't save myself, and only one could save me, and that was Jesus. And so therefore, when I looked into him and believed in my heart that he died for me and his finished work upon Calvary, died and buried and rose again, I was saved. And I said, God's wanting you to be saved. But God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And I told him, I said, repentance is turning from your guilty self unto a God that can save you. Now, last but not least, let me show you this. Turn back in your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Notice, if you would, Paul says, preach the word, out season, in season, out season, reprove. That word reprove means bring into light. In other words, when the word of God is preached, it brings to light certain things in your life. It does me too. Can I say something? The Word of God reproves everybody in here, me included. Somebody said, you stepped on my toes. I didn't step on your toes. If the Word bothered you, then the Word of God stepped on your toes. But it reproved you. It brought to light something. Look back in your Bible. It says reprove, rebuke. The word rebuke means to censor, to pass sentence. In other words, to pass sentence upon what you've done. Then notice it says exhort. Now look, if you would, keep your finger there in Timothy and go to Titus just a minute, the book right after Timothy. It's written to a young pastor too. Notice what he says in verse 13 of first chapter of Titus. He says, this witness is true, wherefore what? Rebuke them what? That they may be what? Somebody said, preacher, I don't like nobody preaching at me. Then you don't like preaching. Because there's not a person here, if it's real true preaching, that it don't rebuke you sometimes. Look, if you would, in chapter 2 of Titus real quickly. In verse number 15. Says, these things speak and exhort and what? Rebuke with all what? And let no man what? You say, well, I'll just quit and quit coming if you don't quit preaching that. It's not my job. I'm not going to intentionally pick up a message just for you. But when God gives me the message I'm going to preach, it's going to be preached, and you can either like it or you got to deal with it. It's not my job to change it. It's going to reprove Cliff sometimes. It's going to rebuke Cliff sometimes. It's going to do that. And you know the wonderful thing about it? He told the church over there of Laodicea, he said, those I love, or in Ephesus, he said, those I love, I rebuke and chasten. So when God rebukes you, Jackie, it's because saints need to be rebuked. They need to be reproved. But also the word exhort. The word exhort means to be encouraged. You're given hope. You're given encouragement. There's things that lift you up and pick you up as a child of God. And so therefore, the word of God exhorts you. So listen, sinners need the word of God preached. Saints need the word of God preached. And when you don't preach the word of God in the church, Brother Scott, when you don't preach the word, what happens is the flock starves to death. And they get diseased, weak, and they have all kinds of issues. And so therefore, it's important, and if you don't preach the word, you're not going to see people come to the saving knowledge of Christ. We are to preach it boldly. We are to preach it biblically. And we ought to preach it compassionately. Look at this last verse, and I'll show you. Look, if you would, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, real quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're nearing around the bend. I guess some of you sing tonight, won't you? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Notice if you would. Let's see. Let me see where I want to show you. I don't see the verse. I thought I marked it, but I don't. Real quickly, hang on just a second. Look, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I had the wrong one marked. It's 2 Timothy. It says in verse number 24. Notice what he says. He says, "And servant of the Lord must not strive." That means I shouldn't be trying to pick a fight with anybody here. It's not my job to do that. It's not my job to lord over God's heritage. It's my job to preach, to feed the flock. He says, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. In other words, we are to have a desire. Look, if you would, in Jude, and we're going to close right here at this verse. Jude, verse number 22. We are to preach the word. Some people say, well, preacher, if you loved us, you would just preach things that are pleasing to us, things we want to hear. Please listen to me. If I only loved what you give me, salaries, benefits, whatever, I might preach that. But if I love you, I'll preach the truth. Because every one of us needs to hear the word, me included. You'll be surprised how many times I preach, and the Holy Spirit of God says, and he cuts me, and he improves me. But then sometimes I preach and he lifts me up. Sometimes I'll come not feeling very good or have something on my, and I get through preaching and I feel like $1 million because he exhorts me. Look here in Jude real quickly, verse 22. And some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. If we didn't care, we wouldn't preach it. Because when it's out of season and somebody don't want to hear it, the hardest thing in the world is try to preach to somebody that don't want to hear what you got to say. But God didn't give us that choice. He declared that we are to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove, rebuke, and exhort in all long-suffering, patience, and doctrine. Keep it within what the Bible teaches. So listen to me, folks. There is room still for old-fashioned preaching. And it's needed. No other preaching will do. And so today, maybe you're here and maybe you're lost. And maybe the Spirit of God has convicted you and is drawing you to come be saved this morning. Why don't you come? Maybe you're here and God's dealt with you in other ways. As we stand, get a song, Brother Jesse. However God may deal with your heart, would you come? Let him have his way. I've had probably 25 or 30 people come to church here, and they've told me this thing. I promise, they've told me the same thing. They came and they come on Sunday when I preached past 12 o'clock, when we started 11 o'clock started services, and I preached past 12. I've had probably, since I've been pastor here, probably 25 or 30 of them said, "Preacher, we would love to come to this church, but you preach past 12 o'clock. And we're used to getting out before 12. I said, "Well, we'd probably love to have you, but under those circumstances, you wouldn't like it here. Because there will be times I would preach past 12 o'clock. And I said, if that's your perimeter on where you go to church, then this probably would not be the place you want to come. But I thought, how sad. I wonder what they do like Paul when he preached three hours and the guy fell out of the window asleep. Amen. What would they do there? But we are to preach, not ever quit preaching. Amen. Brother Jesse. Sinners need it. Saints need it.